All right, brethren, well, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, sometimes in this world, we just feel a little out of step with the world. You know, all of a sudden, things that 20 years ago we kind of thought, you know, wasn't supposed to be, now it's, we're being intolerant, or we're some sort of, like, haters, or some sort of, how can I say it, I guess we're just bad people, in other words. Now, the Germans called it the Zeitgeist, and it means the spirit of the age. What is the Zeitgeist of the age you and I live in? It's an interesting idea and an interesting concept. If you look at any time period, what is the spirit of that time? What is the way people feel? The way that they think? You think about the United States, and you could break it up in the history of the United States into different categories, into a different name, and try to capture the spirit of the age. You think of the Roaring Twenties. When you hear the Roaring Twenties, you start to think of certain words. Some may think of prohibition, or some of y'all might think of gangsters. It was a time of also automobiles. In 1910, people hadn't seen automobiles. They hadn't seen, but in 1925, they were all over the place. And in 1910, people hadn't seen airplanes, and by 1925, they're flying mail with airplanes. It was a time of technological wonder. They were living in a time like no other in history. People were flying in the air, and people were riding in automobiles. It was an age also of flappers. Girls would dress a certain way, they would cut their hair a certain way, and dance a certain way. And they were called flappers. It was also a time of short hair. In the Victorian age, all the women had long hair, and in the 20s, all the women started having shorter hair. There were places called speakeasy, which was an illegal bar that everybody went to. Also, you'd have an enormous change in the sexual morality. The reason why is that millions of American soldiers had gone to France in World War I, and they've been to Paris, and the farm wasn't the same anymore. And also many things were changing so much. How bad did it get? They gave the women the right to vote. Just kidding. Jazz was a new kind of music that was considered by many people the downfall of Western civilization. Some people said that jazz was bringing the total decay of society. But you know, people could listen to jazz in secret because of a new thing called radio. Now, you think smartphones are exciting? Can you imagine taking a little box and putting it in your house and turning it on, and you could hear music? Or you could hear the news that used to take 3 weeks to show up on your newspaper, and you could hear it the day that it happened. Life got so fast in the 1920s, people thought this might be the end of the world as we know it. And it became very fast, and it was called the Roaring Twenties. What stopped it was the Great Depression, which was a whole another spirit of the age. Now, I want you all to think of the zeitgeist of today. What would you say would be the zeitgeist of today? Some would say technology. We're in a technological revolution. Smartphones, tablets, internet at blazing fast speeds. Some will say a spirit of social media or a spirit of tolerance or a selfie generation. Years from now, when people look back at this time, these are the things that they will say. There's political correctness, there's fear-mongering, and there's also information overload. We're getting so much information. We're getting real news, fake news. We don't know what to believe anymore. There's just so much information out there. And 20 years from now, this is what they're going to use to describe the spirit of the age. Because the spirit of the age 20 years from now will be different no matter what happens. But brethren, you and I are living in anticipation of a spirit of the age to come. A spirit of the age to come. Now let's go to Acts 2. Acts 2. This is the fulfillment of numerous Old Testament prophecies. That there will be a new covenant as part of the new covenant. God's Spirit, the very power and mind of God, is going to be poured out into people. And when that happens, it automatically creates a new zeitgeist in us. The spirit of the age. The problem is, you and I still live in the spirit of this age. And we're influenced by the spirit of this age. And we struggle with the spirit of this age. And yet, we have been given the power of the spirit of the age to come. The spirit of the kingdom of God. And that has to be how we live our lives today, brethren. So we look at what it says in verse 1. Acts 2, verse 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then they appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Brethren, from this point on, the rest of the entire New Testament is about a group of people who were totally and completely out of step with the spirit of that age. And believe me, the first century had a real spirit of the age to it. It was the height of the Roman Empire. It was the height of the fact that they mixed all these peoples together. And strangely enough, one of the descriptors of the age of the first century, that time of the Roman Empire, the spirit of the age was tolerance, religious tolerance. Not tolerance if you were against the Roman Empire. Religious tolerance was throughout the whole world, just as long as you didn't create a new religion, which is what they claimed the Christians did. And they were very tolerant of religions as long as you were willing to worship Caesar. You could believe in whatever you wanted. You could worship rocks, and they did not care. So at this point, brethren, you have a very religious, tolerant world. And at that time, and a new world of discoveries. They lived in a world where there was scientific thought. They had reached the edge of science. They thought they were creating new sciences and new thoughts and new discoveries, of which now much of it has been disproved, of course. But at that time, they didn't know that. If you lived in the first century, and if you lived in Rome and in other places where you had settled and lived upon Roman culture, you would think of it was the best of times in the world to live. Because you had an economy that was creating trade between far ends of the earth, like never had been experienced before. People were having wealth like never before. It was the spirit of the age. These people now found themselves out of step with that. So what happens is that they're living by a spirit of the age that is yet to come on this earth. And the whole test for them and their entire lives is for the rest of the century is whether they would live by the spirit of their age or the spirit of the age to come. And in fact, their salvation depended on it. Now, you and I can't live by the spirit of the age to come unless we are given God's Spirit. But once we are given God's Spirit, we must live by the Spirit to come, the kingdom of God. And brethren, all of us in here, our salvation depends on it. We can't live by the spirit of this age and the spirit of God at the same time. You have to choose one or the other. And so these people receive God's Spirit. As time goes on, they begin to try to figure it out. How do I function in this world? It was easier to be a Jew and stay with the Jewish context. And they thought, okay, I believe Jesus is the Messiah. Now I'll just go to the synagogue like I always did and worship. And many Jews did that in the very beginning. You even see for the first 20 years where the church met at the synagogues until they got kicked out because the spirit of the synagogue wouldn't let them in there either. And now even Jewish Christians felt out of step with their Jewish world. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Here Paul gives the only real deep description of what it does when we receive God's Spirit in our minds. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. Paul says, let us face this. What you've been given, and he's telling this to the church, and the spirit that you have been given is going to seem like foolishness to the intellectual Greeks. They're going to say, you're just silly. And to the Jews, they're going to say, you're just heretics. You have to understand that the spirit of the world, of their world, any place they went, they were going to find themselves out of step with the world. They were going to be outside of that. And as the world continues, because we're in the age in which the zeitgeist is changing, the spirit of the world is changing. And you can feel it little by little every year. And it changes. You're going to have to decide what spirit you're going to be a part of. Because there's not going to be a choice after a while. And I'm not saying this to be frightening. I'm saying this to say, wow, what a great opportunity to live by the spirit of the future, a spirit of the age to come. The spirit that will be on earth during the millennium. The spirit that will be in God's people, in God's family, forever and ever and ever. But to be part of that, you have to be chosen to live. But you have to be chosen and to live by that law now. To live in it now. But that doesn't fit into the spirit of this world. And the spirit of the world that we know is changing. What this world will be like in 10 years is hard to predict. Just like the world was like in the 1928, during the Roaring 20s. the best of times, some would say. Could you have imagined them believing that what the world would be like in 1938? In 1938, it wasn't even the same world as in the 20s. They couldn't imagine in 1938 that Nazism would be growing, communism would be growing, and that the United States and the entire world economy would collapse. They could not imagine it. Nobody predicted it. And if anybody predicted it, nobody listened. And it happened. Music changed, art changed, architecture changed. Every time a new age forms, everything changes. So let's go here in verse 6. So he's saying to the church, understand, when you receive this spirit, it's going to be seen stupid and silly to other people. He says in verse 6, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6 through 9, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not of the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. He says that this will be absolutely silly because they don't understand that we are being prepared for the age to come. So we live by a different spirit, and that spirit isn't going to make any sense to anybody else. And the real question is, and we have to, of course, ask ourselves, and of course I have to ask myself, what spirit am I living in today? Which spirit am I following today? The spirit of this age or the spirit of the kingdom of God? Now you and I have to live in the spirit of the age. We have to live in this world. And we're not given any other option to live. We can't live in a community isolated from the world. But we're supposed to interact with this world. So we live in the spirit of this age, but we live by the spirit that is yet to come. And we're given the power and we're given the spirit of the age to come. But this isn't going to be an easy process. It is a glorious process, and it's an amazing thing that God would do that. And it's an incredible act of grace that you and I would be chosen to participate in this. But brethren, it is not easy. Verse 10 through 11. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. This is a remarkable statement because it seems to come out of nowhere, and there's a lot of scriptures that seem to explain where he's coming from. But we can put some ideas together here. One is that we are made in the image of God. And brethren, we've only known this in the last, I would say, 25 years, because it's only been in the last 25 years that we've been able to do more and more research to discover this. But your brain and my brain are different than anything else in this world. Our brains are different than any other animal. Our human bodies are designed so differently. You know, there's a part of our brain that triggers what is called religious experience. And it doesn't exist in any other form of animal. It's not there. You know what you do if you deceive that part of your brain, though? You and I become Hindus. You trick it into some sort of religious experience, and you trick your brain with all kinds of things. When we smile at each other, we get a shot of endorphins, and we all get a little happier. Our brains are just designed differently. But that doesn't explain all of it. When you look at the Old Testament, all animals receive the breath of God, and it's translated spirit. And it literally means breath. It doesn't mean God blows into you like CPR, where God says, I'm going to give you some oxygen. The breath of God is not oxygen. God imparts into every living thing a life, but the life he gave to us is in his image. Just like the brain that he gave to us is in his image. So we become a living and breathing thing, a nephesh, as it says in Hebrew. We are different than anything else, and this is what Paul is saying. Paul says, think about it. There is nothing like us. And we think like human beings because we are designed like human beings. He understood that there was something about us that is different. That takes our brains beyond someplace. It takes us beyond just the function of the brain. Verse 12, the same chapter. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. The spirit of the age, the spirit of this time, we haven't received that. We have to give it up, or we'll still be carrying it around. All too many times, we all carry around two spirits. We're fighting two spirits all the time. This has to be about the spirit that has been given to us so that we become a part of the spirit of the age to come, the kingdom of God. He says in verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. We know the truth of God because we received the truth of God, and we understand it because of God's spirit that we all received in baptism. You can take a human being with this remarkable human brain and this spirit of man, and they still won't understand the things of God except for little bits and pieces, because we're made in the image of God, so we begin to pick up little bits and pieces, but we won't understand all of it. We won't have the intense relationship with God that is possible. So he gives us, as Paul says, power, love, and sound mind. He gives us God's power, God's love, and God's sound mindedness. That's what we get. That's what we receive, and he gives it to us. It is not possible for any other human being to obtain eternal life by his or herself. It's just not possible. We are not a completed creation. You and I were born an incomplete creation. And of course, Satan comes along and infuses his spirit into each and every one of the people in this world. And he influences us. And so what do human beings do? We create new ages. We create new spirits. And the spirit of this age, the spirit of the age, so many different ages, and it all fails throughout history. Verse 13. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. We can compare the spiritual aspects of life and come up with the true spirituality of life. But this will seem silly even to the spiritual minded people who do not have God's Spirit. This will seem ridiculous. It'll seem oppressive and it'll seem abusive. It may seem I don't know if you feel it, but sometimes you think that people will think whenever you talk to them that we need to be put in some sort of mental institution. Don't you feel it sometimes? But the natural man is just man with our brain designed to be in the image of God. The spirit that is given to us, designed in the image of God, it won't take us anywhere beyond this life by itself. Let's read in verse 14 through 15. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. Now this next statement is very important, because it's a quote from the New Testament, and he tacks on a little clause at the end of this. Let's read verse 16. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. You and I don't know the mind of God. It's so great that, you know what's really amazing about the mind of God? Is that it doesn't need a physical brain. It's truly amazing. But then notice the clause, of course. But we have the mind of Christ. When you receive the Holy Spirit, you receive the mind of Christ. That's what you receive to live by now in this world, to learn and be prepared and anticipate the age to come. When Jesus Christ reigns on this earth, and you think about it, if you and I live by the spirit of this age, how will Christ, when he comes back, say, how can we say, well, yes, we've been living by the spirit of this age, but you know what, I'm here now, and I'm ready to live by your spirit. It just can't happen. We can't expect to live in the spirit of this age, and then when Christ comes, just, you know, try to fall in line with him. He's teaching us now to live by the spirit of the age to come. Christ has given us his mind so that we can learn how to live in the spirit of the age to come, which he's going to bring with him to this earth in the millennium. This means that each of us has to give our heart and our life and our mind and all of our energy, everything we have, to submission to the Holy Spirit. It has to be in submission to the Word of God and submission to where he shows where we're wrong and we change. It's difficult, brethren. But our lives have to be lived in submission to the mind of Christ so that we're prepared for the age to come. In conclusion, brethren, you and I have to live by the spirit of the age to come, or we will be swallowed by the spirit of this age. And I can't stress this enough. You and I either live by the spirit of the age to come, or you and I will be swallowed by the spirit of the age that's forming on this earth.